This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The new man in charge.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us as we pick through the vote count and what it means in the fallout from the financial crisis. All eyes will be on President-elect Barack Obama, who won a decisive electoral and popular vote count. And the question in financial circles around the world is, what's next? There was a big Election Day rally on Tuesday, a lot of buying in overseas markets overnight. The Dow was up more than 300. NASDAQ and S&P waxed positive 2. Asian markets got a big bump as major indices there rose by at least 3% overnight. European markets, a different story. Not so juiced this morning. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, joins us now. Stephen, what's going on there? Investors seem to be in a bit of a sell-off.
That's right. London, Frankfurt and Paris all lost around 2% in early trading. Not necessarily, I should say, a vote of no confidence in Barack Obama. Brokers and analysts that I've been talking to here this morning say the sell-off might have been even bigger had there been a McCain victory, and especially a narrow McCain victory.
Does this mean that they got what they wanted then?
Well, they did, first of all, in the sense that this was a decisive result. Also, the analysts and the fund managers that I've been speaking to in recent weeks seem, on balance, rather impressed with Obama. They regard him as cool and calm and collected, perhaps the right person to play an important psychological role, and that is restoring confidence in America's battered economic model. However, there are absolutely no doubts here about the scale of the problems that face the president-elect. It is obviously a dire legacy and a poisoned chalice, if ever I saw one.
Well, and if you look at the campaign and sort of get wrapped up in that, you hear the rhetoric about protectionism and trade. European and United States trade accounts for, what, $800 billion? That's a lot. Are Europeans afraid of that, afraid of a president-elect Obama?
There has been a certain nervousness about these protectionist statements. However, I think most people here regard that as simple campaign rhetoric. And what they are looking for now from the president-elect is some kind of clear economic statement, acknowledging the scale of the problems, laying out some of the measures he intends to take, details of a new stimulus package, but above all, an indication that him and his new team are going to start working very closely with the Bush administration very soon. I think that is the real fear here. Investors on this side of the Atlantic seem to want a clear sign that there is a new hand on the tiller pretty soon.
Stephen Beard in London, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Well, let's check in with Marketplace's Elisa Roth now with reaction from investors stateside. Elisa, what does Wall Street want from President-elect Obama?
I think really the main thing was to have a decisive victory, which we obviously got. The worst case scenario for Wall Street would have been a repeat of what we had in 2000 or something similar. I talked to Brian Gardner this morning. He watches public policy issues for the investment bank, Keefe, Bruyette and Woods. And he said Wall Street doesn't exactly want anything.
It's not so much what they want from. It's, I think, to be shielded from. Business is playing defense.
And he says really the bigger issue for Wall Street will probably be what happened on Capitol Hill last night.
Well, the Democrats now have an even stronger majority in Congress, as you alluded to. What does that mean?
Well, it sounds a little bit bizarre, but I think Wall Street would really like to have a little bit more gridlock. When you have a majority, it means that things can get pushed through a little bit more easily. So the Democrats don't have an absolute majority in the Senate, but they're pretty close. And I think that's going to make Wall Street a little bit nervous because, again, we could see new regulations coming out. One of the biggest will obviously be changes to oversight in the financial sector. But there's also stuff like environmental issues. And interestingly, a couple of people mentioned to me concerns about unionization. So companies like Walmart that have really been fending off the unions are probably a little bit nervous right now.
So we're watching all those things down the road. What does President-elect Obama need to do for Wall Street right now?
He really just needs to show leadership. He needs to start appointing some solid people to positions. And really the big key there is going to be who's named to Treasury Secretary.
Marketplace's Alisa Roth, thanks.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. By Shriners Hospitals for Children, providing treatment for orthopedic, burn, and spinal cord injuries at no cost to the families. More at shrinersforkids.org. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Let's take a step away from the election results and look at some other numbers that have consequences. You know those credit scores that are ever so important when it comes to buying a house or a car? Well, the company behind the so-called FICO scores, Fair Isaac, issues its results later today. Has the environment of tight credit, where people are fretting over their scores, benefited Fair Isaac? Here's Ashley Milne-Tight.
You might think anxious consumers would be checking their credit scores right now, but not ones they have to pay for, like the FICO score. Michael Nemiroff is an analyst with Wedbush Morgan Securities. He says most of Fair Isaac's credit score business actually comes from companies. Big financial firms use the FICO data to check their customers' credit when they want to make a big purchase, a house, a boat, even a washer-dryer.
So based on what's been going on with the economy for the last couple of quarters and the fact that most consumers are not exactly going out and buying these big-ticket items in droves, I would expect that the volumes of their scoring business would actually be declining.
And he says if there's less credit scoring going on, that's likely to mean lower profits for Fair Isaac. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
It looks as if the election was the final straw for U.S. News and World Report. The magazine is throwing in the towel on glossy and going all digital. The Washington Post reports that the magazine has decided to reinvent itself online. The magazine's been struggling to compete against Time and Newsweek. It cut back and became a biweekly earlier this year to try to trim costs. The magazine has already trimmed workers, and more layoffs may be on the way. Again, Asian markets reacted fondly toward new American president-elect Barack Obama. European markets are down. We'll continue to keep close watch on the fallout from the financial crisis throughout the morning and online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.